In our previous talk, we dealt with dependent origination or the law of a causal relation. Sometimes this dependent origination or the law of a causal relation is used as a Paticca Samuppada Chakka. Paticca Samuppada means the law of a causal relation. Chakka means wheel. So it's translated into the wheel of the law of a causal relation or the wheel of a dependent origination. Because when a cause, a condition arises, then there arises its effect. That effect itself becomes a condition or cause. Then that condition or cause produced another effect. Then that effect itself becomes the condition or cause. Then it causes another effect. In this way, the train of a cause and effect never ends. It becomes round and round as a circle of dependent origination. So that's why it's called as Paticca Samuppada Chakka, the wheel of dependent origination. Then if we in the wheel of this dependent origination, how can we get rid of it? We can't get rid of it because we have to go round and round along this circle of the wheel of dependent origination. But the Buddha said, it's ignorance that makes living beings goes round and round along the circle of the dependent origination. If that ignorance is replaced by right understanding or wisdom, then we can cut off this circle at the link. Then we can get rid of it. So to free from this wheel of dependent origination, what we should try is to have or to acquire wisdom. That's the insight and the enlightenment. any wisdom acquired through learning or thinking, reasoning, is not conducive to our liberation from the circle of this divine origination. Only the wisdom acquired through the experience of nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena, which constitute so-called personal being, and also which constitute constitute the wheel of a divine origination. Then cut off this circle and enable us to get rid of it. That is why the Buddha said, the first truth, the truth of suffering, dukkha satya, is a prajñāya, the truth which must be thoroughly realized, or which must be rightly understood. As a suffering. So the whole of divine origination, or the wheel of this divine origination, consists in both nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena, which is it the truth of a suffering. So we should try to realize some of the links of this divine origination, or the train of this divine origination. If we are able to rightly understand one of the links of this wheel of a divine origination, we are sure to cut it off and get rid of it. Then here we say the wheel of this divine origination consists in both the mental and physical phenomena. In another word, we can say the whole of this divine origination is aggregates of mental phenomena, aggregate of feeling or sensation, aggregate of a perception, aggregate of mental formations, and the aggregate of consciousness. So the Buddha said, when we are able to realize any of these five aggregates, then we can get rid of this cycle of divine origination and free from get free from suffering. Here we have to be born, reborn, because of the action which is done in the previous existence and the attachment for the existence. That action is done because of a grasping. A strong desire to be reborn. So the action is done. The strong desire or attachment or grasping arises depending on the attachment or tanha desire. That tanha or desire or attachment arises depending on the feeling or sensation. Here, the feeling can be classified in six. The feeling that arises from unconsciousness, the feeling arises from ear consciousness, the feeling from arises from tongue consciousness, the feeling arises from the nose consciousness, the feeling arises from the body consciousness, the feeling arises from the mind. In other words, the consciousness of seeing a visible thing causes the feeling to arise. In the same way, the consciousness of hearing, the consciousness of smelling, consciousness for taste, consciousness for feet, tangible thing, consciousness of a mind object causes the feeling to arise. So the feeling is divided into six. Whatever feeling or sensation it may be must be thoroughly realized. Unless it is a feeling, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling or neutral feeling, unless this feeling is not realized as it really is, that feeling causes attachment to arise. It conditions the attachment tanha. When the feeling, when the tanha arises, as you know, tanha attachment is the second truth, the truth of the cause of suffering, samudaya sajja. All sufferings are caused by this attachment. This attachment is the immediate cause of all kinds of suffering in this existence and the following existences. So that's why this attachment or tanha or desire is the called Samudaya Sacca. The Buddha names the Sitana as Samudaya Sacca, the cause of suffering, the origin of suffering, the immediate cause of suffering. When we are attached to any living beings or non-living things, when we are attached to any living beings or non-living things, it's sure we would have suffering because of the attachment to that living beings or non-living things. So if we are attached to our parents, our families, our sons, our daughters, our friends, that attachment is sure to cause, to give rise to suffering for us about these living beings. Say, when we are attached to our friends, we love him, we have a very strong affectionate for him, but one day he has died of some illness or disease. We feel sad, we feel sorrow. Sometimes we may have a lamentation over the death of our friend. That sadness is suffering, dukkha. Mental suffering. If we feel sad about the death of our friend, for the death of our friend, say 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, then there we have a physical suffering too. So in this way, the attachment is the cause of suffering. Even if we are attached to even our meditation, then that attachment creates a great deal of suffering in us. Both mental and physical suffering. When we are attached to our meditation, we are greedy to make progress in meditation. We strive our best day and night, but we are not able to improve our meditation as much as we wish to, then we feel disappointed. Sometimes we feel sad for our being unable to make progress in our meditation. Sometimes we are worried about the progress. Sometimes we are in desperation because we think our meditation is hopeless. This disappointment, sadness, worry, desperation are the result or the effect of the attachment to our meditation. So even the attachment to meditation is the cause of suffering. So it's called samudaya saccha. Then what we should do when we have attachment to our meditation? Sometimes though we are able to progress in meditation, our concentration is deep, the insight clear, it penetrates into impermanent suffering, impersonal nature of mental states or physical process which observed. We are happy. We are satisfied with our progress in meditation. We enjoy it. Then we become attached to it. To our good experiences, better experience in meditation. But this progress in meditation is also impermanent. One day, for some reason, our concentrations are broken. There are many thoughts, several thoughts are going here and there. We observe thinking. The more we note the thinking, the more thinking becomes stand. We feel sad. We feel sad sometimes. We feel to cry over the failure in our meditation, and also the loss of the good experience that we had yesterday and the day before yesterday. Then these suffering, mental sufferings, are caused by attachment to our good experience or better experience in meditation. Then this attachment, tanha, desire, is a disadvantage for us. Then we should not have it. But if there is a feeling or sensation about any object, that feeling or sensation is sure to cause this attachment to arise. We can't do it. Then what should we do not to have this attachment to even our meditation, or not to have attachment to any living beings or non-living things or any dhamma? Yes, when we realize there's attachment to our meditation or our progress. It must be observed as it is, so that we are able to realize these attachments as it is. Noting as attachment. As long as attachment is there, we should continue to observe it until it has disappeared. But there's the other way. Attachment arises depending on feeling or sensation. Then, if we are able to realize the impermanence and suffering, impersonal nature of this feeling or sensation, we won't have attachment, because we are realizing the rising and passing away of a feeling and sensation, and being oppressed by appearance and disappearance, and also this is the process of mental phenomena which is ever changing, arising and passing away. If we are able to realize this feeling, a sensation in this way, in other words, if we are able to realize the specific and general characteristics of this feeling or sensation, there won't arise any attachment at all. So, in the Buddhist scriptures, it is said that if you want to get rid of this wheel of a divine origination, you should cut it off at the link of a feeling or a sensation. If you cut the attachment when it arises, you may be able to overcome it, you may be able to eradicate it at that moment, but when there arises a feeling or sensation, then it will cause this attachment again to rise. So, what you should do is to destroy the attachment. You have to uproot its cause, the root, its cause, that is a feeling or sensation. It means whenever you feel about your progress in meditation, whenever you feel pleasant sensation, happy, rapture, about your progress in meditation, that feeling should be noted, happy, until that happiness has disappeared. When the happiness is disappeared, or when you are able to realize the appearance and disappearance of the happiness feeling, then there won't arise any attachment from this happiness. So, when you see happiness as a natural process of arising in person way of a phenomenon, then you won't have any attachment at all. because you do not take happiness as a person who is happy about his progress in meditation. You do not take it to be a person or a meditator, because happiness is neither a person nor a being, neither a meditator, not an ordinary man. What's that? It's an ever-changing process of feeling or sensation. That's all. If you realize in this way, this happiness in this way, you won't have any idea of a person or being, happy person, happy meditator, happy me or happy I. Then you don't have attachment to your progress in meditation. The attachment is the cause of suffering. If the attachment has been removed, there won't arise any suffering at all. So, whatever you feel about your worldly affairs or your meditation, you should observe it. That feeling may be pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling or neutral feeling. It's a very rare to realize the neutral feeling, because the neutral feeling is very subtle. So the scripture says neutral feeling is very, very subtle, so it should be regarded as pleasant feeling. So it is it's difficult to observe neutral feeling, and also there are very rare occasions when we have to experience a neutral feeling. Most of the time we have to observe pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, sukha vedana or dukkha vedana. That's why we have to observe when we have a painful sensation, or when you have the unpleasant physical sensations such as pain, stiffening, itching, numbness, and so on. These are unpleasant sensations. Unpleasant sensation also causes the attachment to arise, because when we feel painful sensation, then we want to have the pleasant sensations such as calmness, happiness, and so on. Depending on the unpleasant sensation, we long for pleasant sensation, or we have a desire to have a pleasant sensation. So when we are able to realize that this painful sensation as arising in present way, the phenomenon, the ever-changing phenomenon of arising in present way, or just the experience of unpleasantness of a tangible thing, if we realize that, we don't have any idea of me or my personal being. We don't have the idea, I am painful, I feel painful sensation. My knee is aching. My leg is numb. This idea of a person, a being itself, can be removed by the right understanding of the painful sensation as just natural process of feeling sensation, which is ever changing and arising and passing away. Then in this way, when we are able to realize the feeling or sensation vedana in two aspects, the aspect and the aspect of specific characteristics and the aspect of general characteristics, then we don't take this feeling, either painful feeling or happy feeling, to be a person and being itself. Then there won't arise any attachment at all. When the attachment doesn't arise, there won't have any suffering. There won't arise any suffering at all. Then here, we get free from suffering of divine origination. As you know, at the end of the in the conclusion passage of Paticchasamuppada, divine origination, the Buddha said, in this way, a big heap of suffering arises. So the Buddha said, this is wheel of a divine origination, is the big heap of suffering. Eva me tasa dukkha kandasa samudayo hoti. So any link of this Paticchasamuppada or this train of Paticchasamuppada divine origination to suffering. The first one, avijja, ignorance, is suffering. The second one, sankhara, action, wholesome action, unwholesome actions, is also suffering. The third, vijnana, all consciousness, beginning with the first consciousness of an existence, is also suffering. Then namarupa, the process of a mental and physical phenomena, are suffering. Then salayadana, the six sense bases or the six doors, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind, are also suffering. Then passa, contact, is a suffering. Vedana, feeling, is a suffering. Tanha, desire or attachment, is suffering. Upadana, grasping, is a suffering. Bhava, action, is a suffering. And jati, rebirth, it's a suffering. Jara, decay, suffering. Marana, death, suffering. Soka, sorrow, worry, suffering. Prideva, lamentation, suffering. Dukkha, pain or physical suffering. Then dominas are grief, mental suffering. Upayas are desperation. This is the end of a Paticchasamuppada, suffering. So the Buddha said, the whole of this wheel of divine origination is a big heap of suffering. But if a person is not aware of these mental states and physical process, he is ignorant of the reality of physical and mental phenomena, so he won't be able to rightly understand suffering. So he takes suffering to be a happy process or satisfactory process. But though he take it to be happy and satisfactory process, but actually the reality is not what he is, what he thinks, not as he thinks. The reality is ever changing phenomena which arises and passes away constantly and instantly. So it's a suffering. That's why the Buddha said the truth of a suffering is a prajna to be thoroughly realized, to be rightly understood, so that his disciple can realize the reality as it is, and to strive their best to get rid of this suffering. So here, when you want to get rid of this suffering, its core must be destroyed. The cause of suffering is attachment, tanha, samudaya, sakya. The cause of suffering. Then to remove or to uproot this tanha, attachment, the cause, you need to rightly understand dukkha, suffering, as a suffering as it is. All mental, physical phenomena. To rightly understand all mental states and physical process as impermanent, suffering, and impersonal nature, what you need is your mind should be concentrated on any mental state arising, any mental states of physical process from moment to moment as it is. To realize all mental states and physical process, or any mental states and physical process as it really is, you need some degree of concentration. Your mind should be concentrated to a certain extent on any mental states or physical process which is observed or which is arising at this moment. To have this some degree of deep concentration, you need to acquire a sharp and powerful mindfulness of mental and physical phenomena. Only you are able to be mindful of whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs. Your mindfulness becomes continuous and constant, uninterrupted, and sharp, then it occurs. So that's why the scripture said meditation should be stata vihari. Stata here literally means incessant or continuous. Vihari means living. Constant and continuously living with mindfulness. That's a satata vihari. It means that meditator must have a constant and continuous uninterrupted mindfulness so that he can acquire some degree of a deep concentration, which gives rise to the insight, clear insight into phenomena. So to have this continuous, constant and sharp mindfulness, you need strenuous effort. Without strenuous effort, your mindfulness cannot be constant, cannot be continuous, cannot be sharp enough. It's only enough effort or strenuous effort, which is called a padana, that gives rise to constant and continuous mindfulness. If a meditator feels lazy, his mindfulness can never be continuous, can never be sharp. Laziness is the enemy of the effort, strenuous effort. So though you have a strenuous effort and sharp mindfulness, sometimes the mind doesn't stay with the object, either mental state or physical process. It is struggle to go out, to wander, to think about something else. Then we need a mental factor to keep the mind to the object, or to direct the note in mind to the object all the time. That mental factor that keeps the mind to the object, directs the mind to the object, is called sammasankappa, right thought. So here, you may know the right understanding is a samadhi, right understanding or insight into phenomena, rise and passing away. Concentration is a samadhi, right concentration. Mindfulness of any mental state or physical process is a sammasati, right mindfulness. Effort, enough effort, a strenuous effort is sammavayama, right effort. The mental factor that keeps the mind to the object is right thought, sammasankappa. There are five factors of the Noble Eightfold Path, working together on these mental states and physical process. But the other three factors are helpful do these five factors, what are they? They are abstention from bad speech, abstention from bad deed, abstention from bad livelihood, abstention from bad speech is a samavaca. Abstention from bad deed or action is a samakamanda. Abstention from bad livelihood is a samajiva. And also we can say abstention from wrong speech, wrong deed, and wrong livelihood. There are three kinds of abstention. Abstention from wrong speech is a samavaca. Abstention from wrong deed or actions is a samakamanda. Abstention from wrong livelihood is samajiva. When we are mindful of any mental states or physical process, with some degree of a deep concentration, then the mind is concentrated on each object, one after another, continuously, incessantly. At the time, we are abstaining from wrong speech, wrong deed, wrong livelihood. They are called the group of sila, morality, these three. When we observe a precept, we are abstaining from these three kinds of wrong deeds, wrong speech, wrong livelihood. Then our deed and speech are purified. In other words, our morality is purified. Because our morality is purified, our mind is clear, happy, tranquil. So this state of clarity, tranquility is very much conducive to our mind to be concentrated on any mental state or physical process which is observed. So the five mental factors which are working together on the path that leads us to the cessation of suffering, and the other three factors helps these five factors to make progress. So altogether, eight factors of the noble path is developed. So it's called the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path, which leads to right understanding of Dukkha Satya, realization of the Dukkha Satya, mental states and physical process. Because by the power of this, the Noble Eightfold Path, we are able to realize the truth of suffering as it is. So, we are not attached to any mental state or physical process. The attachment has been removed. Samudaya Satya, the cause of suffering. When the cause of Samudaya Satya is removed, then there won't arise any suffering at all. when the cause is removed, there won't arise any effect. So here, suffering ceases to exist, and then we live in peace and happiness. The cessation of suffering is Nirodha Satya, Nibbana. That's why the Buddha said to develop these Noble Eightfold Path so as to realize Samudaya Satya, the truth of the suffering, and to remove the attachment and the experience, the sasayis, remove the attachment, samudaya satya, and the experience, the cessation of suffering, nirodha satya. Then we have got rid of the cycle of dependent origination. If we are able to attain the final stage of enlightenment, which approves all mental defilements, which is included in dependent origination. So may all of you rightly understand how your mindfulness meditation can lead you to realize your mindfulness meditation, Magga Satya, can lead you to realize the truth of suffering, Dukkha Satya, and eradicate the attachment, Samudaya Satya, and experience the cessation of suffering, Nirodha Satya. And try your best and attain the cessation of suffering, Nirodha Satya.